Today on Real Radio.
Jesus understood something about the cross. When he announces, I wish this fire was already kindled. Let's get the show on the road. Because he knew beyond the cross was eternal life for everyone who'd believe in him. And that divides families, sad to say. Divides people. Sad to say, but it's true.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. In a section of chapter 12, the Messiah explains that he has actually come to divide. Our study is taken from verses 49 through 53 of Luke chapter 12. It's called, It's More Than a Family Feud. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That's why many people throughout history have blamed wars on the gospel. That's tragic. There are no wars because of the gospel. There are wars, James says, because of the evilness of man's heart. Well, life is bigger, and here's why. Because now as Christians, we love God more now. He's number one in our lives. You say, well, Pastor, that's what I don't like about you people. I was doing really fine. My son worshiped the ground I walked on. And then he found Jesus. And now Jesus first and all about Jesus. And so wait, let me see if I have this right. Is he worse for finding Jesus or better? Oh, he's better, but I'm not like worshiped by him anymore. Well, wait a minute. I would rather have my kids love God more than me or anything else on this planet. Because if they love God more, then all will be well with our family. All will be well in our relationships and experiences. Because if God is loved, then you can take a big breath and relax. You guys, come on, listen to this. Think. If it's you and your wife or you and your husband, trust me on this. And you want to be married all the days of your life, and you don't want to ever be divorced or divided. You know what the greatest thing is when you think, well, what's the answer? The answer is for them to love me completely and absolutely. That's impossible. Man was not made to do that. If you want to have your husband and your wife be faithful to you and love you, they've got to love God first. It's the only way. How do you know if your husband or your wife's not messing around? You'll never know unless they love God more than you. Doesn't the scripture say it's the fear or the reverence of God, huh, that causes us to depart from evil? Think about it. What a wonderful thing it would be for everyone in our family to love the Lord first. We'd probably look like those two little chipmunks on the cartoon there, letting each other go through the door first all the time. So sweet and so nice. To love God first. We love God now as Christians more than anything, more than anyone. So Jesus said, do you think I've come to bring peace? The gospel divides because not everyone's going to love the Lord. Also this, what about loyalty? Life's bigger than we think because our loyalty now is to the Lord. This is a tough one. Because the truth of the matter is, there are some people who've been brought up in cultures and brought up in a direction of life that family's everything. Family's extremely important, and don't think I'm talking down family. I'm talking here to preserve family and strengthen family. But if we are loyal to God first, watch, our kids who have strayed, listen, any of you men out here whose wives have strayed, tune in right now. I hear it a couple times a week. My wife left me. I don't know what to do. Maybe it's on the other foot. My husband left me. I don't know what to do. Listen, stop right now and start following the Lord with all of your heart. Well, that's what's that going to do? Number one, it completely gets you right with God. Number two, it'll change your life. Number three, if the bum comes back or not, you are going to be doing exactly what you ought to be doing. You only win. If you today decide to follow Christ, you'll only win. And then here's the best part. I don't know if my wife's ever going to come back. Well, here's what you're going to do. And if you're a guy, you don't want to counsel with me. Because this is what I'm going to say. I want you to dry your eyes, okay? You will start living your life right now like Jesus would have you live it. And if she chooses to leave you and her file for divorce in the next 3 weeks or 3 months, let the world know that she's walking out on the best guy in the world. Let her know that you're the best thing for her. And if she chooses to do that, it's your choice. But you will have followed Christ. And in most cases, when that man decides to do that, you know what she winds up doing? She winds up coming back. Because she has seen someone different. No, God is all for family. But when someone chooses or decides not to follow Christ, it's a sad thing. Truth does that. Absolutes do that. And there are absolutes, contrary to what your school has been teaching you. There are absolutes. I'll give you one right now. You want to cause? Let's cause some division. Want to cause some division right now? Here's some. Any of you had debate class, logic, in your school? Check this out. This will keep you up all night. John 14:6. You say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Oh, just hang on a minute. John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way. Definite article, the. I am the way. You know what that means? It means there ain't no other way. You can debate that all day long. When Jesus said, I am the way, it excludes that there are any other ways. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth. No, I'm going to make up my own truth. No, you can't do that. You can do that all you want. It just ain't truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. That's your choice. I would never force you. It's your choice. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. That word means in the Greek, there's no eternal life but the life he gives. Well, I don't like that either. That's pretty divisive. I agree. It's royally divisive. That's very intolerant. No, it gets better. Jesus said, continuing, and no man comes to the Father or gets to heaven but through me. You want divisive? That's about as divisive as it gets. And you could sit here today and say, I am not going to believe in that. Again, it's your choice. However, I highly recommend you do believe in it, because 3 days later, he rose from the dead to back up all those words. That's a serious thing. And by the way, what are you kicking against? All he does is love you. All he wants for you is the absolute best. And then when you're all done in this life, he wants you with him in heaven. Nobody wants you around, but he wants you in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Think of that. Oh no, here he comes. Draw the curtains. God opens the curtains. The phone rings, call waiting. No, I don't want to talk to her. God says, pick up the phone, call me. Jeremiah 33:3. That's his phone number, by the way. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me and I'll answer. Our loyalty now is to the Lord. Paul the Apostle put it this way in Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Power of God into salvation. The cross. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the cross. The cross. The cross upsets people. Did you know in Saudi Arabia, none of our troops can wear any crosses? Forbidden. I'm not here to freak you out. I just want you to see some truth. This is the watchtower, Kingdom Hall. See a cross there? Not only will you not see a cross, they speak against the cross. No cross? You can't have a cross. No cross. Okay, saying that's another one. That's a Mormon temple. Any Mormon ward, stake, or temple, you'll never see a cross in a Mormon building whatsoever. That's another Mormon, I don't know where that is, but that's a weird looking place. On top of the building, there's Moroni, but no cross. Isn't it interesting? Paul the Apostle said that he's not ashamed of the gospel, and he's not ashamed of the cross. Hold that picture. What do you think that picture is? That's a mosque. Where do you think that picture was taken? Come on. What are you guys shy about? Oh, you guys are too smart. I thought you'd say, like, you know, Saudi Arabia or something like that. That's New Mexico. But if you want to see a massive mosque, just go to State College in Anaheim. Huge. It's bigger than the mouse. It's gigantic. Next pick. No cross. Don't want to have a cross. Don't even talk about the cross. Don't want to see the cross. This is a Jewish synagogue. No cross. Don't talk about the cross. No way. No cross. And yet the Bible says, this is a Hindu temple. No cross. Don't want to talk about the cross. Avoid the cross. Those are a bunch of gods that are on that building there. This is the courtyard right here behind you. But wait a minute. You guys just clapped and said amen. Do you realize how divisive you are? You say, that's very divisive. Even part of the world will not allow a cross to be displayed. I understand that. Why though? Why? Jesus died on the cross. Why would people run from the cross? Because the cross announces that families can be healed through the cross. Lives can be saved through the cross. That what happened at the cross, you either love it or you leave it. There's no neutral ground at the cross. And this is our sticker. Here, does your car have this sticker? It's free. It's in the church office. We have thousands of these. Look how happy. I like that cross. It's a happy cross. You say, well, the cross shouldn't be happy. I agree with you. It was the rugged cross. Jesus died on that murderous cross. I understand that. But you know, once you come to Jesus Christ and realize what was done at that cross for you and I, we love the sunburst of that cross because there's new life through that cross. Jesus understood something about the cross. When he announces, I wish this fire was already kindled. Let's get this show on the road. Because he knew beyond the cross was eternal life for everyone who would believe in him. And that divides families, sad to say. Divides people. Sad to say, but it's true. Loyalty now, it belongs to the Lord. And then our desire, it's for you now. Now that we've got salvation through Christ, we want you to come with us. Are you listening? Yesterday I was preaching at the prison and this particular yard that I was in, I was giving them the gospel, and about 150 yards away, way, way away, thank God we had a massive sound system, there were these prisoners hanging on the fence looking into the yard that we were in. And I said, can you guys hear me over there? Then I'll keep yelling, stay there and listen. And we gave them a message about the thief on the cross. And those guys, I'll always remember those guys hanging on that fence, listening. You know, it's one thing awesome about prison ministry, which you ought to get involved in. They want to hear. If they show up, they want to hear. Jesus is in prison too, you know? He's everywhere. Our desire is for you to know the Lord. Is that so wrong? Is that why you hate us? No, you Christians make me sick. We probably do because we're stupid and we insult people we don't mean to. And the things that have really bothered you that have come from us, it's when we're not being like Jesus. So please forgive us. But I got to tell you, don't look at us. Look at him. And then third and final point, verses 52 to 53. It's more than a family feud than what's going on. It's a spiritual war taking place in our families. On Friday mornings at 5 o'clock in the morning, there are people here praying till 6:30 and they're crying for their kids to come back to Jesus or to get away from the drugs. And there's young people praying for their parents to know the Lord. It's a spiritual issue. So what can we do, really? Well, the first thing is that you and I, we ought to humble ourselves. Are we not Christians? Do you realize what he has done for us, or have we forgotten? Should we not be humble people? We're going to heaven. We didn't even do anything for that. In fact, we did everything to keep us out. And he saved us. He opened up our eyes. And there was a day when we began to think, man, if I die, I'm in trouble. Could the Bible be real? Is God really out there? Those thoughts he put there to stir you up. We should be humble about that. And do you know what I mean by this? If we're Christians today, what I'm going to say, you want divisive, I'm going to give you divisive. How can we say we're Christians and we have withheld forgiveness to people in our lives? You cannot be a Christian. Can you imagine Jesus? I forgive you. Father, on the cross, Father, I forgive most of the people here. He didn't say that. Now hang on, don't freak out. Listen, don't panic. I can see you reaching for your purse. Stay there. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You know what? Maybe somebody hurt you, hurt me in ways that we can't even think of anymore. And we will not forgive them. Watch, we will not forgive them. We call ourselves Christians, but we won't forgive them. They may or may not be believers. Doesn't matter, does it? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew's gospel, he said that if you or I, in Matthew 6:14, he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. What do you think that means? There's libraries of books written on this. Well, it means this and it means that. How about this? How can I really claim to know God and be forgiven of horrible things? Horrible things. And then I withhold forgiveness to somebody who insulted me? Or didn't, wasn't nice to me? Or a son or a daughter rose up against me? Or maybe somebody over the course of my life misrepresented me or cursed me or condemned me or molested me when I was a baby. Father, they don't know what they do. That's what a Christian does. Isn't that what you want God to do to you? Father, forgive Jack. He's a bonehead. He doesn't know what he's doing. The danger is the day that you and I begin to say, no, I will pick and choose who I forgive. And these couple of people in my life, I'm stringing them out to dry. Peter was, on a great day for Peter, he thought he was going to lead the troops when he said, Jesus, you can almost see him. John, watch this. This is going to be great. Excuse me, Jesus, about forgiving people who sin against us, shall I forgive people 7 times? Yes, 7 times. He thought he was doing a great thing. And Jesus said, no, how about 70 times 7? 490 times? You mean infinitely? Just keep forgiving people? Yeah, that's what Christians do. Because do I and we together constantly ask God, please forgive me for that attitude, Lord. Please forgive me for that hot head of mine. Please forgive me for what I wanted to do to that guy in the fast lane over there a minute ago. Humble yourself. Secondly, be like Jesus to them. You want your family to come to heaven? Why don't you be like Jesus to them? They may never read the Bible that you have because, frankly, they don't like you and they don't want anything to do with your God or your Bible. So give them Jesus by how you live and act. That's your mission field. You want to go with us to Africa? No. Do you want to go with us to China? No. Then make your family your mission field. Doesn't the scripture say that if you come to Christ, the scripture announces that your family also, how does that happen? Does it mean they're automatically saved? No, it means your witness may very well bring them to Christ. And finally, I'm done with this. Be the first one to treat them like a Christian. And I love this one. Start treating people like they're Christians. You say, yeah, but Jack, the guy's an atheist. Treat him like a Christian. I say, what do you mean by that? You know, do we not have friends who are atheists? Or worse? Start treating them like this. I am not joking, but I'm telling you. Hey, Mike, how's it going? It's going good. All right. Hey, your lawn looks great. Thanks. How's your family? My son's sick. He's sick. What's he got? I think he's got the flu. Oh, man. such a little guy. Yeah, he's real. I think we're going to take him to the doctor. Well, you know what? Let's just pray right now for him. Father, we pray that you just touch Mike, little baby Mike. We just pray that you'd heal him up right now and get him feeling better in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks, Big Mike. Again, your lawn looks great. I'll see you later. If you need anything, call us. Okay, I'll see you later. How long did that take? 30 seconds? Maybe 45 seconds? You know what that guy, goes back to the house? Hey, do you know what that freak just McDoor did? He just prayed for little Mikey. Kind of freaked me out. Anyway, you got to watch those guys over there. He won't forget it. And when his wife's got a lump or when he's got bleeding, guess where they're going to come? Hey, remember when you prayed for little Mikey? Can you pray for me? You guys start treating them like Christians. They want to become one. It's amazing. But if you treat them like, oh, you poor pagan, hell-bent fodder, you fuel for hell, you. We're going to church. You're probably going to watch the game. See ya. Those are going to be left behind. You'll never win them. It ain't going to work. So listen, church, we're done. Family, it is incumbent upon us in a family, those of us who are Christians. It's more than a family feud that's going on. Your family's not your enemy. It's the spirit of darkness behind them. It's the world of the enemy that we wage war against. And God is calling you and I to reach them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called It's More Than a Family Feud, a study taken from Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 through 53. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we have Pastor Jack with us sitting right here because he's got something on his heart that he wants to share with us. Pastor Jack?
That's right, Mike. I had to interrupt this program, as you well know, Mike, to make this plea to our radio audience. We had an event, and I can honestly say it was an event, at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills recently on Saturday night, September 11th. As every year we do, we host a 9/11 memorial service, but this year topped them all. The reason why is because we had an old friend back, and that was Brigitte Gabriel. And Brigitte Gabriel spoke to a record crowd here at Calvary. We lost count at over 4,500 people. The church was filled, parking lots overflowing, rooms and courtyard full to the max. And she delivered a challenge and a message to America and to the Christian that, frankly, everyone, in my opinion, in the world needs to hear. I'm asking all of our radio listening audience to get their hands on this extremely special service. You will understand why 9/11 took place. Why did it have to happen regarding those who have waged war and declared war on America? And what can be our action? What do we do in response to this agenda that is driven by hate? It's not going away, my friend. And I'm telling you now, you've got to have this message for yourself. You can order your own copy by going to realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And order for yourself a DVD copy of this tremendous address by Brigitte Gabriel on September 11th, right here at Calvary Chapel. And we'll send that out to you for a donation of any amount. We would greatly appreciate that. So God bless you, and I hope you're blessed by it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, again, that's for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. Again, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.